Quest Oracle Community proudly presents the PeopleSoft Connection, a Quest on-air podcast production. Hosted by PeopleSoft users Stephen Valentine, Senior Director of Quality Assurance at the Milton Hershey School, and Brooke Repine, a PeopleSoft Business Systems Analyst with Samaritan's Purse. This podcast explores and showcases how PeopleSoft customers are harnessing specific functionality and capabilities to drive business success. Welcome to this episode of the PeopleSoft Connection. I'm one of your co-hosts, Brooke Repine, and joining me is co-host Stephen Valentine. Today, we're interviewing Jessica Maestrovich from Hennepin County and Jennifer Gilbert from King County, who are experts with the PeopleTools Test Framework, also referred to as PTF. They're going to help us learn more about PTF, share some resources and best practices to get the most out of it. Welcome, Jennifer. Welcome, Jessica. We're so glad to have you here with us today. So let's start by just talking a little bit about the PeopleTools Test Framework and the availability for customers who have PeopleSoft and how to get started.
Sure. So anybody who has PeopleSoft has access to PeopleSoft Test Framework. It's included with the tools install. You can install it standalone on a Windows application to run it from any Windows machine you like. And it runs as a UI automation, which means it's going to kick up your browser and do inputs like a human would and can do almost everything any sort of analyst would do in your environment, plus some extras.
So thanks for that, Jennifer. Can I kind of repeat that in a way that might make sense to me? So you're saying that I can install that on my own computer and then I can create my test that I want to run and then it just runs on my computer?
Correct. It's a standalone product that doesn't require you to be running on the same application or the same server as your database is.
I know both of you came to your company when it was already there and being used somewhat. So can you talk a little bit about what it was like to come to your company and what you did with PTF?
I was brought on to Hennepin County when they had several tests already here. Some of the tests were being actively used and maintained by one of our BAs. All the other ones were not in a runnable state. When they first wanted me to work with them, they wanted me to take the ones that they already had and update them so that they would be in an active state. I didn't know what was going on with the tests. I didn't know what was going on with the business processes. And so we switched focus to just recording tests and cleaning up the tests that we're recording. After a while, as I got more fluent in the test language, I started referencing the older ones to see what they had done previously, to see if I was missing anything in my tests. When I did that, I did discover some stuff. One thing that comes to mind is that there was a part where they were clearing all the fields. And I was like, oh, that's a great idea. I should start doing that. So they became a resource for me. But there was a lot of them. And my goal is to get all those flushed out, glean them for everything that they had in them, and then get rid of them. In the meantime, they're stored in what I laughingly call my archive. Which is a folder system where I just toss them all into the folder. I think Jen might have something similar to that in hers.
I totally have an archive folder. I came on to King County. They originally created a position just for managing our PTF scripts. They got started in PTF when they migrated to 9.2. When they approached their payroll analyst and went, hey, we're going to be testing PUM four times a year. We're going to need you to test payroll four times a year. The payroll analyst had a not so positive reaction to that. So the first thing they wanted to do was get a PTF test down that tested payroll so that they didn't have to worry about bothering people. And so they created a position just for managing and running PTF. I came in with more than a few years of QA experience and having done Selenium coding, which PTF is built on a language called Selenium. It's used for, like I said, browser UI testing. So I had more of a technical understanding of how it worked, but also the application to make it work for the functionals. When I came in, they definitely had some problems with it. Some of it was not operational, hadn't been maintained correctly. There were some scripts that ran, but were a little bit flaky. So my initial response was to get them in there, tighten them up, make them reliable, and rebuild any trust that might have been lost by a couple of flaky scripts.
You mentioned that trust is a factor with the test scripts, that a lot of times users may not necessarily trust that a test script can do the testing for them. So can you talk a little bit about that and how you overcome that concern?
I started having every other week or once a month meetings with the different analysts that I worked with. I walked them through the current tests that we had. I did a test run through them to make sure they understood what they were doing. And I made sure to reassure them, because this is something I've experienced in previous jobs, that people always worry that automation is going to take your job. Automation is just a computer. It's never going to have the same mind space, emotional reactions to things that humans do. It can see a picture's there. It can't see where the picture's at. So it's best for a human to go in. There's always going to be space for humans in the testing environment. But letting them see that the different types of automation we have can really supplement their job, not replace it, is super great. For example, I had one individual who was staunchly against automation, and he was just like, no, I never need to talk to you about this. I'll never use it. It's not useful for anything I do. Until one project, when he came to me and was like, look, I need to create 15 users every time we refresh the data in this database, and I'm going crazy. Can automation do this? And I said, absolutely. And 2 days later, I said, anytime you refresh the box, I'll run the script and you'll have your 15 users. And he was a staunch convert ever since.
At Hennepin, all those test scripts that were here when I got here, they were written by consultants, and then some of them were supposed to be maintained and or new ones written by the BAs. And what wound up happening was they stopped running almost right away. It was more trouble than it was worth to the BAs, I think. They could just do it themselves faster than trying to maintain these tests and make them run. And so they kind of got this impression that it wasn't a great tool. And then when I came in, I added the dynamic responses and some resilience to the test. So now the test will work even if you move something on the page. They were doing a lot of navigation using tiles, and somebody would move a tile or they'd log into somebody else and now everything breaks and won't work. So I started working with one of the VAs in expenses because that was the most familiar area to me. Fill out an expense report, have somebody approve it, have the next level approve it, that kind of stuff. When we started working on it, she was one of the ones that had really been burned by the tests before, where they just all fell apart. As I started adding more and as they were running consistently and we could send different users through, it would find their approvers and all of that was being automated and there wasn't any interaction necessary from her side. She just started getting more and more excited about it. And then another person wanted to try it and have a few of their tests made. And it sort of became a snowball effect where the more people who believed in it and thought it was great, the more people who wanted to start trying it. The next piece of that was the handoff. I know you didn't ask about that yet, but the handoff was the next real major hurdle that we had. So we got these tests, they're running great, but at what point in time does the functional stop testing the same stuff that the PTF tests are running on? And we're still kind of in the process of figuring out the best practice for that. We make tickets for the test and then I say it's done and then they either watch it run or watch a video of it or look at the output of it and get to where they're like, okay, I agree that this is doing what I would have done. So now you can take responsibility for making sure that this section got tested. We're moving over into, we're running these series of tests and they're not testing.
That's an interesting point, which I never thought about. So it sounds like you guys actually run the test for the users. And so the users rely on the test that you run.
So we do a batch file. So our tests run overnight. We're working it into the process of our refreshes and our updates where there's a period of time after the developers have done their retrofits and before the functionals are doing their testing. Now there's a day or 2 days where I'm going to run PTF overnight. Anything that didn't run successfully, I validate that it wasn't a test or a setup or an environment problem. I clean those up during the day. And then that second night, I run anything that didn't successfully pass the first night. And usually then by the next day, anything that's still left over, then I reach out to the BAs and I say, hey, this didn't run. It failed here.
Yeah, so we do things a little differently at King County. I actually run them and keep an eye on them while they're running so I can debug in real time. We're not fancy enough to have batch files yet. But what we'll do is during our PUM testing, we have 2 weeks allotted for testing. And the first part of that is entirely our payroll testing, which is run half by PTF, and then it's validated by a payroll functional. And then we kick off the other half of PTF that runs time and labor and GL and so forth. Once we do that, we're able to open it up to other testing. And while the other testing is going on, I run the rest of our PTF scripts. And some of them are literally just prep for folks to do other work. For example, I run a script with 30 different processes in it so that the analyst can just go and check the output of the process instead of actually going and kicking off those 30 herself. We also have time and labor scripts that run and download the Excel output of them. And I zip that and send that to the analyst so that they can check that instead of running all 30 something of our time and labor rules. So mine's much more interactive, I think. I also have a few tests that run outside of our normal testing script that can be requested on demand, such as user creation. We use PTF to refresh our training environment, things like that.
So Jennifer, I understand you're using PTF for HCM system, while Jessica, you're using PTF for FSCM. What is the easiest or quick win test case you'd recommend for automating first in both of those applications?
I think that's going to be entirely dependent on the individual or the group that's building the PTF system. Just because in our case, it was the payroll system, because that's the biggest pain to do. And so wrapping PTF around that takes that pain point away almost immediately, although it can take several months to build it out. It's a huge investment. For example, it used to take, what, 6 people, 2 weeks to test the payroll end to end because they had to hand it back and forth. And now I can run that payroll script, excluding calc times, because we all know those are variable, in about an hour and a half. So it saved however many man hours that is. And that's the biggest impact to our system. But that might not be true for another HCM system.
Whatever you're most comfortable with doing already, that should absolutely be your first recording, because you're not going to have to think about which field to fill in, what data should be in that field, what error is going to pop up because you didn't put a value somewhere or you didn't put it in the right format. And then when you rerun it, it's going to run nicely because you knew all the stuff that was supposed to be in the various spots.
So one of the focuses of this podcast is around community and the value of community and how we can learn from each other. And I understand you guys actually have a set aside time each week, maybe, or every other week, where people that want to learn about PTF or people who are working on PTF can come and experience your knowledge as they're developing. So can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes, I was lucky enough when I arrived at Hennepin that Ken was here are actively maintaining his tests, and he gave me a great boost to start. I think I would have struggled even more to just get stuff rolling if he hadn't been there for me to ask questions and bounce ideas off of. That was in my organization. And then my boss knew Jen from a group at Oracle. She put me in contact with Jen, and she was a huge resource for me in learning and answering the questions that I had about the tool. That made me realize how important community was to being able to be successful with this tool, and the value of us supporting each other. And so we do have a working group every Thursday from 12 to 2 Central. You just come in and you can just work quietly, or you can go into a breakout room and talk to people if you have questions. We can chat each other. It's like a focused space to work on PTF while somebody is accessible to you who might have the answer to questions that you have.
100%. When I got started just learning PeopleSoft, there was another group that has since moved on from PeopleSoft that I would ask so many questions to, and just sort of learning the ins and outs of things. And I've always been a big proponent of spread the wealth, grow the people. So when Jess reached out to me, I was like, oh, awesome, let's go. And, you know, she's a powerhouse as well in helping to teach people. This working group session we have has been a great treat for both of us, actually, because it gets us not only exposure to what other people are seeing, because I will be the first to say I certainly don't know everything, but it helps us get a feel for where others are at in the community, which we don't often see.
I think it's excellent that you guys are willing to set aside time each week and share your knowledge with other people across the community that are using PTF already or looking to get started. I really appreciate that you guys are making that a priority on a weekly basis. You're also part of a PeopleSoft Test Framework SIG group, correct? And that meets once a month through Quest?
Right. We meet on the first Thursday of every month. Oracle used to have a PTF focus group that was since transitioned away and became more of a lifecycle management group. I wanted to keep in contact with the folks from that particular group, including Pam, and I think Jess was newish at the time when it finally fizzled out. And so I pulled everyone back together like January of 2024 and just started pushing the group, reaching out to people. And then we presented at Blueprint 2024 saying, hey, we're starting up this new PTF Underground, we called it, which is a play on something Jim Marion used to say. And we started welcoming people into our forum. And from there, Quest was like, oh, there's really a need for this. So they started up a SIG group for us. And we've been hosting it ever since.
That's actually where I'd first heard about PeopleTool Test Framework was at the Blueprint 4D 2024 in Dallas, Texas. You guys had the PTF Underground session, and that was a great inspiration for me, and I've since joined the SIG. And I think it's a great resource for anybody that's looking to get started, but also veteran users that have more advanced questions. And it's great because that resource is out there for us to go look at any time.
Absolutely. We do our best to maintain sort of a document library of best practices, some tips and tricks.
So beyond these two resources that we've already talked about, which are excellent, do you have any other advice to give someone that's just getting started with PTF?
Start. We have the people who don't have it installed or don't have it running or maybe don't quite understand how to even get it up so that you can make a test. That's a problem that we're hoping that can be resolved with your sysadmins. But it's not hard, but it requires some knowledge of the database. So it takes 5 minutes. If they know the database parts, people can get it up and running right away. The problem is that sometimes people are concerned about security or access. That can sometimes stop your forward progress in getting it installed. All the pieces of it are in the system. You're not adding new stuff. You're not changing something that's there. It's already there. So use it. The second part is the people who tried it before and it didn't work. Or people who have a test suite that isn't working and they kind of don't know what to do with that. And my suggestion would be for those people, come to the meetings. We can help you. Like, we can help you find an in route to use what you have. We can help you find a way to move forward from where you are. Whether you're just starting or you have a whole suite, we can help you. You just have to be willing to start doing something.
Yeah, we often call that PTF PTSD because you've experienced it before. You feel like it's burned you or something's changed, your script no longer works, and you're not sure what to do. And that's precisely why I think the group is extra useful, is we're there. If you have questions, we're more than willing to answer them. And honestly, it's like Jess said, just go in there and play with it, experiment with it a little bit. If you're not entirely comfortable, entirely sure, we're more than willing to help you get your toes wet too. Everyone has the ability to do this. It's not just for super technical people.
Yeah, I'm really excited because as you've already laid out, the PTF is already included. There's no extra cost, but you're also offering the ability for people who want to get started. You're offering resources to the community. And I think that is super helpful. And I really appreciate all you guys' work and enthusiasm about using the tool and helping others who aren't already using it to get started.
The more people who are actively using it, designing and playing with it, the more things they're going to discover that they can share with me. We gain from it too. You know, community grows together. And I think that that's really what we're hoping, is that when I have a question or Jen has a question, now maybe there'll be somebody else who can answer our questions because we don't know it all.
Yeah, and that's really the value, I think, in community that we're trying to help promote, because it's all over PeopleSoft. We have so many people that have so much knowledge and they all really want to share? And how do those of us that don't know learn from each other, and how do we connect each other? And I know the SIG groups are a great way to do that. And, you know, I know that we were one who we looked at implementing PTF a few years ago, and we decided not to because it seemed to be difficult and cumbersome. So now I'm kind of excited after talking to you guys about looking into it again. I think it'll really help us with our testing. It'll help streamline and it'll make things even better.
I'd love to hear what your recommendations are on standardization. Some organizations struggle to get started with that. So what are your recommendations for standardizing test script names or organizing the structure of it?
Well, I'm going to go with one page prompt per test. Or one logged in user per test, because I feel like I've seen a lot where you'll log in and somebody else do something else, log in, and that's way too big. When you go to maintain or troubleshoot, that's too much in one piece. When you do a transaction in the system, you go to a page, you do some work, you click save, that's one test. If you're going someplace else and doing some work and clicking save, that's another test. So as far as how you're going to break it up, I highly recommend one page prompt or one login per test.
Yeah, I think Jess and I are both huge on modularizing your tests, meaning you can take small pieces and then build a bigger test out of them. For our payroll test, when I'm hiring a person, I have one that creates the person, one that hires the person, one that puts a person in the position, so that you can take those and insert them into other areas. As for the overall test structure in terms of how you would organize your tests inside of PTF itself, we also agree that you should probably do it by modules, such as in HCM, we have the payroll module or the time and labor module. And under that, we have, in King County in particular, has folders that delineate a library test versus a shell test versus a regular test. And then from there, you give them user-readable names so that anybody can go in there and be like, oh, this test here creates a position, as opposed to using maybe a spec number or some long, complicated reference number that people aren't going to look up if they just want to go in there and run and create a person.
Yeah. So I have one test that's called Create a Voucher, but it's got all these different flavors based on what type of voucher it is that you want to create. Same with an expense report. You know, when you're filling out an expense report, you get different boxes that have to be filled out. So I think that it's important to make sure that as you're thinking about how you're doing it, you are thinking about the human process of what you're doing. What exactly are you trying to do? That's what it should be called.
So if I understand correctly, People Tools Test Framework is part of People Tools technology that you talked about. So the updates for PTF come out in the People Tools upgrades. Is that correct?
Yes.
And what would you say are the biggest improvements you've seen recently come out?
One of the more recent and necessary upgrades was the shift of the browser recorder from IE 11 to Chrome, and it goes so much faster. I know from experience that folks that have used the previous recorder were often like, oh, this is clunky, this is old technology, it goes so slowly. That's not an issue anymore. All playbacks are running amazingly fast on Edge, Firefox, and Chrome. When it came out, I think everybody in the community rejoiced just because of how much faster and smoother it went. I would also say there was an addition of something called Data Loader, which allows you to access PS queries from inside of PTF. So you can query the database for information directly. You don't have to go through the UI. And it makes a lot of data validation much faster, as well as for us, we use it to go and query users that would be appropriate for the scenario we're testing and go ahead and run those in the UI instead of having to do a query search through the UI, which is still something you can do if for any reason you can't set up Data Loader.
I do know as a functional user, sometimes it's just easier for me to go and test instead of stop and think about setting up an automated testing process. And I probably don't realize how much time I spend testing and how much of that time I would get back if I had it set up in an automated fashion. So I think just stepping back and thinking through that and taking the time would probably create so much more time for an entire organization as you think about how many man hours are spent testing.
I have a pretty good example of that in our training environment. This is something they used to refresh once in a blue moon, despite the fact that we have 4 pumps a year, because it was such a pain. They'd usually go through about 8 to 10 different people, each doing a small nugget of work or a bigger nugget of work and then handing it around as hot potato, right? And it would take 6 to 8 weeks to get the entire database refreshed and set up so that they were ready to go. I sat down with our training team, and through our work process, we actually wrote a script that refreshes and does a lot of the maintenance that needs to be done on the database before we turn it over to the training team. And that 8 weeks shrunk down to about 3 hours of PTF time.
As we're developing new stuff, you're testing it so many times in that development stage. Whatever it is that you're repeatedly doing, we can make a test for that. And then you just have to push play. 10 minutes later, 15 minutes later, it's just done. I think that remembering that the tool is accessible to you and that you can use it in these situations. If we make the test now, you can use it for these hundreds of times you're doing the same process.
Yeah, I try to get my foot in the door when I hear a new project is coming. So I'm like, hey, so what are you testing repeatedly that I could throw into a PTF script that will evolve eventually into a test suite for this new behavior? And changing that thought process really does change the way that PTF can run in concert with your development work, because all of the time they're spent clicking buttons or doing unit tests, roll it into a batch file, run it overnight when they're not working on it, so they can just make their changes without even thinking about it.
I think you guys have done a great job of showcasing the value of this automated testing tool that's included in PeopleSoft at no extra cost, as we've already mentioned. It definitely warrants taking a second look if organizations aren't using it right now. And I appreciate you guys sharing your experience.
For all of our users that might be interested in, remember that there's a group that meets that can help out with that. And Jessica and Jennifer are completely willing to help share their knowledge.
What other items would you like to discuss and share with our listeners today about PTF that we haven't had a chance to talk through yet?
I'm really excited about the buzz that's surrounding PTF right now. I feel like it was a tool that kind of fell by the wayside. And I think it's really exciting how many people are like, oh, I want to try it. I want to start investing in this again. But the nice thing about PTF in general, the fact that it can find stuff in there, it knows what to look for. It knows the names of things. Like, I can check to see that things aren't on the page that maybe were originally there, but we've hidden them. And so I can check to see that it's not there because I know the name of that piece that's not supposed to be there. That's not something another tool would be able to access because it doesn't even know it's there. Another thing I can think of right off the bat that makes it a super cool tool is the process running. It will run the process, then it will wait for it to finish. It will check to make sure that it went to success and that will pass or fail your test. If you were doing that from a different tool, all of those pieces would be something that would have to be included. Whereas for us, it's one line that says, run this process, call this, and wait for this reaction. I think that those are understated benefits of the tool in general. And I just think it's the more people who use it, the more knowledge we'll get out there, the better the tool will be until it's so seamlessly integrated that it's almost like, of course you're using it.
I absolutely want to underline what Jess said. The integration factor of PTF with PeopleSoft is such an enormous value. Go run a process by this name and it's a one-line thing in PTF and it just goes off and does it. To have to hand create that back in regular code would kind of really be a nightmare scenario. So just having that available is light years ahead of doing it with another tool, which the other tools I've looked at all are based on Selenium, but none of them are as tightly integrated as PTF. I also want to say the community that we've got going and that has come out of this, like Jess said, just seeing the different ideas and the different excitement people have for it really excites me in terms of where we're going to grow going forward and how much momentum PTF is going to gain over the whole community and all of the different idea space items that might come out of it and things that could eventually end up in PTF. As a base developer at my core, is crazy exciting for me.
It's a product that needs to be communicated more and really has a lot of power, and really using it is modernizing your technology, which again is another piece that this whole podcast is around, is modernizing your PeopleSoft technology. And how do you do that? And this is a great way to make things more modern and to save time and use the power of the system that your company purchased. So it's a great investment. And I agree, it's exciting news.
And one of the things that you ladies pointed out before was that the more people start using it, the more improvements that we can suggest, the more idea space items we can suggest to Oracle, the better the PTF is going to get. And so it really benefits us all to be using the tools that are available to us for our institutions, but then also to see the growth in the application as well.
Yeah, and the whole idea of using your resources wisely, right? This is an amazing tool. Use it.
Well, a huge thank you to both of you, Jessica and Jennifer, for sharing your insights into the People Tools Test Framework and your experience. We hope that this encourages our listeners who haven't gotten started with PTF yet to get started, and for those that are using it to join you and join the community that's been built around this. I think we all walked away with some valuable takeaways. I really appreciate your time today. Thanks again for joining us.
Thank you for tuning in for today's episode of the PeopleSoft Connection, a Quest on-air podcast production. Show notes and links can be found at questoraclecommunity.org/PSFTConnection. To learn more about what's happening in the Quest PeopleSoft community, visit our website, questoraclecommunity.org/PeopleSoft-community.